that ascension took place, and Jesus left the temporary home here on earth and was brought back to the Father's house in heaven. Can you imagine the welcome home party that must have taken place when Jesus returned to heaven after spending part of His existence here on earth? And I was thinking this past Saturday when our Honduras mission team had come back, and we had a little bit of that kind of feeling, not the total grasp of it, but a little bit of that feeling when you guys showed back up and you were back home again. And so welcome home is a theme that's not foreign to the mind of those of us here at Palmetto Shores. Now, this morning, we're going to be looking at, again, a continued passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1. But before we turn there, I want you just to dial in with me for a moment and let me ask you a couple of hard questions. How safe are you? How well do you think that you're protected? Here in our North American culture, we put a great deal of value on safety and protection, don't we? I mean, you go to the airport, and it's not an easy task to get on an airplane anymore, is it? You go through a system in order to protect you and the people around you from evil that might be lurking in the shadows. It's interesting what we do to protect ourselves and protect our stuff here on this earth, knowing for sure that one day it's all going to pass away. A couple of years ago, I had a little bout with melanoma, and my doctor told me that anytime I go out in the sun, like for the picnic that we're going to have today, anytime I go out in the sun, I'm supposed to have the old top knot covered up and make sure that I'm protected. Now, I'm going to take this off if I can get it off. And just everywhere we turn, we buy insurance, we install alarms, we rent safe deposit boxes. We go for maintenance checkup at the doctor. We even have transplants in order to protect our life or extend our life or maybe even some valuable possessions that we have. We understand that principle. Now again, for the past month or so, we have been looking at the cornerstone of Christianity through the eyes of Simon Peter. And Simon Peter was like some of you who have been on mission this week or here in this community on mission this week. You understand that some of the inheritance of the believer has been fast forwarded into eternity. And the Bible tells us that it's been being protected for you and me. We looked at some of that inheritance last Sunday. And one day, we will hear the Father say, "Welcome home." And that will be an awesome day, won't it? Now, keep that in mind as we open up our Bibles today to 1 Peter chapter 1 again. And just to bring us back into the context, I want us to look at verses 3 through 5. And today, we're going to focus directly on verse 5. But listen as I begin reading with verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." So when the believer hears God say, "Welcome home," salvation, which began at the moment you came before the Lord and you said, "I believe." That's when salvation began for you. And when God says to you and me, "Welcome home," that salvation that began at our point of faith, our point of belief, will be complete. And at that moment, we will no longer need any protection. But until then, Simon Peter is writing to a group of people, and he was one who was really expressing the sentiment of his heart. He knew that while his existence was taking place on this earth, he needed God's protection. So let's look for a few minutes now at God's protection plan for the believer and what that protection plan looks like. We just read in verse 5, talking to believers. In verse 3, he starts off that passage and he says, who has caused us. In verse 4, he talks about the last few words, for you. So for you, look at verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now let me ask you a question. How can a believer endure and remain faithful here on this earth when persecution comes our way and when it becomes really intense? Another question. How, if I'm not kept safe here on this earth, how can I believe in an inheritance in heaven and believe that I'm going to be kept in heaven? Those were the questions that Simon Peter was dealing with in the minds of believers who were going through tough persecution. They were being tortured for their faith in Jesus. And he comes back and he talks to them about being protected. Now look at the text. You see, those who, for you who are protected, this word protected is a military term used to refer to a garrison within a city. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, and then Jude, which only has one chapter, in verse 24, this same word is used. The picture here is an inner wall of protection. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, no matter what happens to your body, the real you, the soul, your mind, will, and emotions, that soul part of you is going to be protected. How is your soul safe? The picture here is, if you can imagine, a safe within a safe. That's how protected your soul really is. That's the picture of this word. So there are five aspects to this salvation that God says He's going to keep safe for you and me. He's going to keep within a safe place. And it helps us answer these hard questions if we understand the perspective that God has on our life. So let's look at these five aspects. First of all, number one, salvation comes through faith. You can't be saved without faith. You can't have that protection without faith. It says, you are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation. So we have to answer the question, what is faith? Is it just intellectually understanding a principle? Or is it just saying I believe in a principle? No, faith is much deeper than that. Faith is having a belief that establishes trust. You don't really have faith until you put your trust in what you say you have faith in. Our military, for example, in the United States of America, says you can trust us to keep you safe. So do you put your faith in our military? Well, you should. We've done a pretty good job at keeping ourselves on American soil safe. You come in and you sit in your chair. You trust that chair to hold you up, don't you? I didn't see any of you coming in here crawling around on the floor looking underneath the chair and checking it out. You just came in and you sat down, because probably hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times you sat in a chair like this. And so you put your trust in it. You sit down in it and you trust it to hold you up. So Simon Peter is saying, you are protected like that. You can put your faith in that protection that God offers because you can trust Him. How and why can you trust God? Where has His power been revealed? Look at the verse again. You are protected by the power of God through faith. Where has God's power been revealed in your life in the past? Well, you look back at the beginning of Genesis in the Bible, and in the book of Genesis, you find that in creation, God did some of His best work. The Bible says He created the heavens and the earth. You can put your trust in God because you can look at creation. You can look at the beauty and the activity of how this solar system works that we call earth as a part of a solar system. And you see where it had to be an awesome God that created that. And if God could create like that, then I can put my trust in Him. You look at the very fact of relationship. that God establishes over and over and over and over again in His Word. He says, look at what I've done to establish relationship with you. And because I've gone out of the way, gone overboard to forgive you of your sin and to forgive you of your imperfection and have relationship with a holy God who's perfect. You can trust me because I've done all that is necessary for you to put your trust in me and have faith in me because of the relationship that I want to have with you. Because of relationship, you can trust God. Also, you can look at God's Word. And you see, the Bible says, in the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In His Word, the Holy Bible, we have a basis to put our faith and to put our trust. Every promise God has ever made in this book that we call the Bible, in His Word, every single promise He's made has come true. And based on the evidence of God keeping His Word, and God being and living out the power of His Word, we can put our faith and we can put our trust in Him. Salvation comes to you today if you have it. Only through faith. Only through trust in Jesus. Salvation comes through faith. You are protected by the power of God through faith. So time out. Let's hit the pause button for a minute. I want to challenge you to go back in your mind. Can you remember that time in your life where you came to the point of taking the faith off of your ability to manage your life and put your trust in Jesus Christ to manage your life? Have you put your faith in Him? Have you come to salvation through Jesus Christ to God by putting your faith and trust in Him? If not, why don't you do that right now? Why don't you just say, God, I feel You calling me to Yourself. I feel You calling me to put my trust in You. I desperately need You. I'm tired of living my life chasing after my dreams and my way of life. I'm ready to put my faith and trust totally in You. You can come to Jesus right now. And you can come to Him through faith and experience His salvation now. If you've never done that, I pray you'll do that right now. What does this salvation reveal? Salvation reveals God's power. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we understand that salvation reveals God's power. So where is the power of God revealed? Where the power of God, He says it right here, who are protected by the power of God, through faith. Faith in what? Faith for salvation from what? When God offers us salvation, He has displayed His power to produce that salvation best and foremost through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The cross and resurrection. God loved you so much that He came to this earth to be one of you. One of us. And He lived a perfect life. And He died a gruesome death on the cross. But on that third day, the grave could not hold Him anymore. And the power of God was revealed perfectly through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only hope we have in this world is through the resurrected power of Jesus Christ coming alive in our life. Now, Simon Peter knew this firsthand. He was writing about something that he had seen with his own eyes and felt with his own hands. He witnessed the death of Jesus. He witnessed the post-resurrection appearance of Jesus. He knew that the resurrection displayed fully the power of God. Like those of you who just came back from mission trip, and many of you who have been on mission trips before, you come back and you have first-hand stories that you can tell because you have seen things with your own eyes and touched things with your own hands that are real to you because you've experienced them. I want to experience that same kind of feeling by listening to you. But Simon Peter had seen it. He had felt it. And he said, friends, the power of God is revealed through the resurrection of Jesus. Reality is, if we don't have fuel, then we don't have power. And if we don't have power, then we don't function appropriately and accurately. the power that Simon Peter had was drawn from the fuel that he had witnessed firsthand in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's greatest power was revealed through the resurrection of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, if you want to flip back a few chapters to Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, Paul says it this way. He says that I may know Jesus and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. There is a power that comes from God to you through the resurrection of Jesus that is perfectly revealed in that cross and resurrection experience of Jesus. Also, salvation reveals God's faith. Now, we think a lot about faith being on our part, the faith that we have to put our faith and trust in God. You only have faith in God because it's generated by God's faith that He gives to you. Faith is only as good as the object of my trust. And when I put my faith in God, I understand that, listen, God has singled you out. And He has put His faith in you when He calls you to Himself. And when He puts His faith in you, He's given you a part of Himself that says, you can trust Me. And I want to trust you to do your part in representing Me well here on this earth. A few weeks ago, I went out about daybreak with my dog, which is a normal daily custom. And I saw the hair raise up on the back of my little dog. He's a 10, 11 pound Dachshund, miniature Dachshund. The hair raised up on his back and I knew something was up, okay? And just a few yards away, between two big trees in our backyard, was a mother raccoon. And behind that mother raccoon was a baby raccoon. And when my dog saw that raccoon, when their eyes met, that mother raccoon straddled her little baby and stood up on her hind legs and she said, come on. My little baby can trust me because I'm going to take care of my little baby. I took a couple of steps toward that raccoon. And that little mama raccoon grabbed that little baby and put that little baby right up on her back. And that little baby's back, claws dug into that mama's back. And that raccoon went straight up that, 25 or 30 foot tree. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Just went straight up that tree. Now, that little baby raccoon hung on to that mom and trusted that mom because that little baby raccoon knew she could put her faith and trust in her mom to take care of her. And that mom knew that she was going to die before that little baby raccoon died. Okay? God has given you faith that comes from Him so you can put your faith and trust in Him. And regardless of whether trials or persecution or even torture or even death on this earth comes to you, you can know that because of the promise of God, He's going to have you inside that safe that's inside the safe. And you're okay. You're okay for eternity. Your soul is okay. Now here's the downside to that. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't received God's faith that He's offered you, then you're not safe for eternity. You're outside that boundary of safety. And Simon Peter was not only given a word of encouragement to believers who had received God's faith, he was encouraging those who had their faith to keep sharing the faith that God gave them so others could come to know faith and be safe in that same kind of way. Salvation only reveals God's faith. God reveals His faith to you to offer you salvation. And it's in your best interest to grab on to Him with all of your life and with all of your soul because that's how He protects you. So how protected are you today? Have you anchored your faith and trust in the faith and trust that God has put in you? And then additionally, I think on your outline it's number 2, salvation reveals true believers. Salvation is a display case. It reveals those who truly have put their faith in Jesus. This verse says, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed. When you reveal something, you take the curtain off. You unveil it. And that's what salvation is for the believer. One day, in the last time, believers will be revealed through God's salvation. Now, I want you to turn back a few chapters to Matthew chapter 7. I want to share kind of a hard truth with you here. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 21 and 22. You need to hear this. Because God's salvation has been offered to those who have heard Him calling them to Himself. But verse 21 of chapter 7 of Matthew. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, what's up with that? Look at what he says. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, what day? The last day, judgment day. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Salvation reveals true believers. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, you have absolutely nothing to worry about. In fact, you have everything to celebrate. You have everything to understand that you put your faith in the faith of God who's put His faith in you. And that's an awesome place to be. Those who have done that are going to be working our fingers to the bone to try to share the gospel with those around us. What do you think he's talking about here when he talks about those who have been faithful in serving? If you know Jesus, you can't help but share Him. And he's saying salvation is the process by which those true believers are really revealed. Because salvation, then, is the beginning of the regeneration process. Look at that on your outline. Salvation is the beginning of the regeneration process. The power of God through faith for a salvation. That word salvation means that regeneration has begun. It means that the dead way of life has been vitalized and given life. And this word for salvation means to be regenerated. It means to be brought to full life. And believing in Jesus as your personal Savior begins that process. But then God's full blessing is revealed on Judgment Day for those who follow through with the process, who mature as believers, who exercise our faith and share our faith with other people. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10 and Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 to 15. Talk about the regeneration process and those who have been regenerated. And the fact that if one knows Jesus, one is going to be working to share Him with everyone that we possibly can. Spiritual change in the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, responding to faith so you live a life like Jesus, is what salvation really looks like. That's the picture of regeneration. That's the picture of salvation. And then finally, salvation reveals the last act of history has begun. Now, I don't know if you've read the newspaper lately, and I'm not one of these alarmists who goes around, you know, crying the sky's falling in. But there is going to be a last act of history on this earth. And you and I may just be fortunate enough to be living in that day. This reference to the last time refers to the time between the first appearing of Jesus and the time of the second appearing of Jesus. When Jesus stood there on the mountain just before He ascended into heaven, Jesus looked at His followers and He said, go and make disciples until I come again. Jesus is coming back again. You need to understand that. And we may have to endure trials and persecution or even violent death. But we need to understand that our souls cannot be harmed if we accept God's gift of salvation. And for those who accept His gift of salvation, what Jesus started at the initiation of salvation, He's going to complete when He comes back again. There were so many people in the first century who missed the birth of Jesus because they didn't believe that God had come to earth. Even while Jesus walked here on this earth and did wonders and miracles, I don't know how this could have happened, but most people missed it altogether. Most people doubted that Jesus actually was God who came to earth. But He did, and He is. And He promised us that one day He's coming again to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. Now, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I know this, no one does. The Bible says it, no one really knows. But I also know this, I know that it's closer today than it was when Simon Peter wrote this over 2,000 years ago. It's closer today. And it just might be that in our lifetime, it just might be that today could be the day when Jesus comes back again, because He is coming back just as surely as He came the first time. He's coming back again. And so, in the meantime, though, whether He comes today or whether He comes 2,000 years from now, while we're still here on this earth and while we're still alive on this earth, protection is a big deal. But eternal protection is the biggest deal. And eternal protection can only come through receiving Jesus Christ as God's gift of salvation to you and me. Dedicating our life to sharing the story of Jesus in us. Opening up and letting the world know about the cross and resurrection experience that we have experienced personally. So let me ask you today, in light of the fact that eternal protection can only be found in Jesus, are you protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation that's ready to be revealed at the last time? Are you? I can't answer that for you. You can't answer that for me. The protection of your soul through God's faith is for those who receive His faith and then share that faith with others. One day God will look at every believer of every generation and He will say, "Welcome home." In May of 2010, I believe it was, there were 3,000 people killed. 3,000 plus people killed in an earthquake in China. Y'all remember that? You remember the big earthquake a few years ago? Our daughter, Mackenzie, was there. She was in China when that happened. And the whole idea of safety and protection began to turn over in my mind at that point. Last year, in 2013, there was an uprising in Dhaka, Bangladesh. And hundreds of people were being killed on the streets of Dhaka. I read that article in the newspaper, the Sun News, while Mackenzie was in the air flying to Dhaka, Bangladesh. This past week, you heard about the horrible tragedy of the commercial plane being shot down over just outside of Russia. And guess where Mackenzie is right now? This very minute, this second that we're sitting here enjoying worship, she's flying over that airspace, coming back from Istanbul, Turkey this morning, coming back to the United States tonight. Now, I've thought a lot about safety. I've thought a lot about protection. When it's somebody that's close to your heart that's in danger, and I know that she's indestructible and, you know, she has no fear when it comes to stuff like that, but I know something about being mom and daddy. It's hard not to, you know, keep your mind from going there. But I know this, as far as her soul is concerned, as far as my soul is concerned, just based on the witness and the testimony of life. She's okay. And I'm okay. Not even mentioning what could happen on this earth. I'm talking about what is really important for the soul. That's where we need to be secure. And so I want to challenge you today, the action plan today. Last Sunday, our action plan was real simple. You know, we said, know Jesus. Make all of life about Jesus. And spend your life making disciples. I think that was the theme that Simon Peter was unpacking here. The action plan for today is make sure that your soul is secure in the faith that God has given you and that you have put your faith and trust totally in Him. Not trusting anything, any system here on this earth, trusting your faith in God. Father, I thank You today for the opportunity for us to know You. I thank You for the opportunity for us to just humbly and sincerely put our trust in You because Your faith has proven itself. And Your faith is proving itself today. And God, I just feel like that there are some people here today who need to take that step of faith and be saved, to enter a life of salvation. And I pray that as Your Holy Spirit speaks to their heart this morning, that today would be the day of salvation for many, many people. Right here in this room. God, I pray that there would be those here who humbly would say, God, I admit that I'm a sinner and my sin is separating me from You. And God, I believe that You did live on this earth a perfect life and You did go to the cross and die and You were resurrected on the third day, and You are coming back again. And until that day, I want to commit my life to just putting my trust in You and then sharing that faith that I have in You with other people. God, I pray that that would be the sincere commitment of hearts and lives here today. And then, God, for those who are long-term believers here today, I pray that You would just fire us up and challenge us to be faithful about sharing that salvation that You've so freely given us so that others can come to know You through the witness of the Spirit in the regenerated lives that we live. God, we fully commit ourselves and devote ourselves to knowing You and making all of life about You today. In Jesus' name, we continue to worship. Amen.